Recordings have started. You may now proceed.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CWG Use of Country and Territory Names as TLDs call on the 3rd of October 2016. On the call today, we have Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Maxime Alzoba, Sarah Langdon-Orr, Annabeth Lang, Susan Payne, Alexander Schubert, Mayana Tazik, and Griffin Barnett. Jacqueline Morris has announced that she will arrive late on the call. We received apologies from Yap Akahus and Yoko Bracken from staff. From staff, we have Bart Boswinkle, Steve Chan, Emily Barabas, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Bart.
Thank you, Natalie. This is Bart for the record. And go ahead, Carlos, over to you.
Yes, thank you very much, Natalie. We take the list of participants in the Adobe room for the roll call. Last call, we were discussing how to prepare for our next steps in Hyderabad. We have two documents pending for the meeting in November. One is the progress report. The other one is the compilation of 2 and 3 letter codes. Last time, we agreed that we should work them through one by one. And as you can see in the agenda for today, we want to go through the progress report first. And with that, I would ask Bart or whoever from staff is in charge to walk us through, please.
Yes, thank you, Carlos. This is Bart again. I say last Friday I sent to the working group a updated version. We waited for feedback from the members. We haven't received any, so there are 2 comments. Say what has changed is, first, I've introduced a comment, reading through it again with a question and maybe for discussion. It's on the screen, and what's also done, what staff has done, is update the recommendations based on the discussions 2 weeks ago. So I'll run through that first. Let me run first through the topic which is on the screen right now. I hope you can see it all. This is with respect to the, say, the examples, the outcome of inconsistencies in the framework. And, leaving aside the way the second one is formulated. So what I do not understand, and after reading it more closely, I still don't understand, is bullet point number 4. Let me scroll down a little bit, or I'll make it scrollable for you. That's just as easy, isn't it? Around the, say, the one that's marked in bullet point 4, existing reserve name restrictions operate to prevent the use of TLDs of certain 3 letter codes on the ISO list. And say it's my understanding that the existing reserve name restrictions operate as a general restriction and not just for certain 3 letter codes on the ISO list. And if you frame it this way, and maybe that's something for the future as well, if you look, think it through, and maybe I'm just daft, but it's a, if you look at the reserve name restriction, especially the NIC one for NIC and for Nicaragua, say, assume these 3 letter codes could be used, and the Nicaraguan government would allow either as a CCTLD or as a GTLD. That's not an issue at this stage, but the Nicaraguan government would support an application which would be required under whatever set of rules, probably. Now, then you have a conflict of rules between the existing reserve names list and this list around the ISO 3166 3 letter codes. And I wonder whether we want to introduce this already at this stage in or as a consequence or implied issue, or should we phrase this existing bullet point, existing reserve names restrictions operate to prevent or prevent certain TLVs, and there may be a conflict or they may be overlapping with other restrictions. I see Carlos and I see Annabeth. And Carlos, you were first, and I see Alexandra as well. Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Bart. The way I remember the discussion is this is one issue where we had different positions in our survey on three-letter codes, but you correct me. I mean, there were some people suggesting that, but there were other people who said, no way, we're going to start with another list of reserve names, but I need clarification here.
I can't recall. I just read this in the report, and the way it's framed, I found it odd the way it was, and especially say in jointly with the example of .nic. Annabeth, over to you. Up to you.
Annabeth Lang here. I understood this that it's marked blue. That .nic.
Yeah.
This is some special three-letter code that's reserved of special reasons.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Yeah, and when Joker is in her comment writes that two bullet point 2 and 4 are equal, I can't see the connection there because it's what they say in number 2 is different from what they say in number 4, or
yeah.
Have I misunderstood everything?
Now, in the sense is if you look at say the Alpha 3 codes. Is they could be, the way I understood it, could be, say, that could be of interest to countries for and local communities. So that's .nic is one example. And
yes,
and
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And what she's noticed is an overlap with, I need to scroll up again. There is an overlap with the existing reserves, and so it's the current list, existing reserve names list, .nic. So what you see is you got, and that's the interesting thing in my view, and that's why I've raised it as such. So you've got .nic or NIC, NIC, and it's either, it's both on the existing reserve names list, and it's an abbreviation as far as I know for Network Information Center. And I know, and again, this is my CCTLD bias. I know a lot of CCTLD manager somewhere do have in their names NIC as an old name, and that's why maybe one of the reasons why it's considered a reserve name. But at the same time, it is being used by the, it's assigned as a three-letter code to Nicaragua. So this is where you can see that there is overlap in differences in rules, and if it would take out one of the limitations, there still would be another one. So the and especially if it remains to be on the reserve names restriction, say if you would look at a hierarchy of rules, that would be the higher level rule, because if that one would go away, then ISO list would or would not. But if it would still say if the ISO list would be liberalized or people could apply or entities could apply for the three-letter codes, then still the reserve names list would limit this and therefore would limit the potential for Nicaragua. And that was more the issue. So this is, again, an example of collision of rules.
Yes, I absolutely agree, because .NIC is a special case, and that is only one of all the Alpha 3 country codes, and it's reserved not because it's a country code, but mostly because it's a technical thing.
That's very clear. But say it's because of this, you see, there is, say, you've got a collision of rules.
This is Alexander.
This
is Alexander. So I don't see any conflict here. There is a list of names that we have exempted for technical reasons. One of them is .NIC, and you can't apply for it. And that's the end of the story. So if Nicaragua wants another TUD, then they can apply for .Nicaragua or for whatever, but not for .NYC. But I don't see a conflict of rules here. There is simply a rule that says you cannot apply for that NIC. Well, that's bad for Nicaragua, maybe, if they want another TOD. But how is it conflicting? It doesn't conflict.
In the sense of, say, you would allow three-letter codes for countries.
Yeah.
And then, say, a sovereign country like Nicaragua is excluded.
Yes.
Yeah, they cannot apply. Yeah, so what? They have a name that is excluded in another rule. So where's the problem? I mean, the Comoros cannot apply for .com. Nicaragua cannot apply for .NIC. NIC. That's kind of sad for them. But should we now say, okay, no one can apply for such a name because Nicaragua cannot apply? That doesn't make sense.
No, or the other way around. Why have something like the existing reserve names and exclude it? But it doesn't matter. It's the way it's framed, so that triggered my thought. Susan, your hand is up and you're on mute. Yeah, now you're not on mute.
Thank
Go ahead, Susan.
I was going to I'm speaking. Yeah. Hi, it's Susan. I was just going to, I think I agree with Alexandra. I don't necessarily see it as a conflict of rules. I think it's just another example, like the .com example, of where there are some terms which have multiple more than one meaning, or, you know, so they may be a country code under the other list, but they also have some other meaning, and therefore it's just an example, I think, which is a very valid example, in the same way as the .com one is a good example. It's possible that maybe it could be phrased slightly differently, maybe to be a bit more clear. I think, I mean, there are existing reserve names restrictions, and they prevent the use of TLDs of certain words or certain combination of letters, which might include three-letter codes, but, I mean, they're not all three-letter. There's some of the reserved names are other names. So maybe we could make that slight clarification, and that might help a little.
No, that was the purpose, because reading through it, it just struck me, and maybe I'm seeing too much, but that's why I've raised it, say, on this one. If you agree, I'll update it slightly to try to make it a little bit more clearer, and then I want to leave this point as it is. Carlos, any?
Yes, in my view, we have no agreement. It has been discussed, but we have no agreement.
Okay.
If it should be reserved or not, That's what I recall from the trilogy.
Yeah. And we'll try to capture that as well. Shall we move on to the heart of the discussion? That's the bit around the recommendations. And that's on, if you have it in front of you, that's on page 5. And if you recall from the last call we had, it was clear that, say, the former recommendations 1 and 3 were supported unanimously at the time on the call. And, say, to finalize this one, say probably we need a share it with the full list and have a call for the document is scrollable for everybody. So you have to go to page 5. So then the second point, so this recommendations 1 and 2 were agreed unanimously last call. Then there was a discussion on recommendation 2 at the time, which is now included on the future, and it read, future work should take place with the authority of a policy development process under ICANN's bylaws, with a clearly drafted charter or scope of works that sets out how conclusions, recommendations will inform that policy development process. This addresses a key deficiency of this CWG, as it has been made clear how the group's work can or will be incorporated in policy making pursuant to ICANN's bylaws. Now, as you may recall, and there was a comment from, especially from Annabeth, but also others, around the issue that, say, and this was a bit of an indication, the one on the overlap, is that you have, say, issues and topics that need to be addressed under two policy development processes in order to create such a harmonized framework. Say it needs to be addressed under a policy development by, or a GNSO policy development and a CCNSO policy development to ensure there is no overlap. And a good, say, on the call last week, the last call, Annabeth introduced some elements to it, and there was a reluctance of some of the CCTLD representatives on this working group to leave everything up to a GNSO policy development process for various reasons. So it was clear, say, that recommendation 2, when it was read in that way, was not, say, adopted unanimously. So, going through it, Heather made the suggestion to separate the two out in the sense of what was adopted unanimously and what would be agreed by, I would say, a majority of the working group. An alternative was that, say, try to combine the two different viewpoints, and that was an alternative for the for recommendation 3, so former recommendation 2, and it doesn't, and which now is included in as an alternative, which is which reads, to ensure the conclusions, recommendations of this or a comparable CWG will at one point have the authority of a policy developed through the processes under ICANN's bylaws, future work should take place with a clear view on how the output of that work relates and an input is provided will inform formal policy development processes, so plural. This may be achieved through a clearly drafted charter or scope of works that sets out how policy development processes will be informed. This addresses a key deficiency of the CWG, and it has not been made clear how, as it has not been made clear how the group's work can or will be incorporated in policy making pursuant to ICANN's bylaws. So that's alternative. Alternative language for recommendation 2. Any comments on either way forward with respect to the recommendations, questions, remarks? Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, just one comment. There seems to be at least one section of one or two that that are repeated, so it's not very clear on the first reading what the difference between the first and the second is. The second comment I want to make is that Steve Chang has been working on a discussion in the GNSO Council on how to answer a request, a question that the board said to the council on when and how and under what conditions new GTLDs can be delegated. And you can rest assured that there is a clear message there that geographic names have to be dealt with before, or there is a few groups, and I consider it a very strong position, that say that this is one of the issues that has to be solved before anything else happens. So if that is through a PDP or a new PDP or an individual PDP, I leave it for the group to think about, but it's very clear that the rest of the committee is the first one, the first bullet here, or bullet number one, in my view, is a very clear message. And I don't know exactly what number two adds to the first one. I don't know if I made myself clear, Bart. Maybe you can untangle that.
It's, say, number one and two are the original, say, let me try to explain before we move forward and answer your question. Number one and two are the are from the original process progress report. Sorry. So, and number two, future policy development process work must facilitate all inclusive, was the original number three. If you would and. I don't know if you can see it, say what the C could not agree unanimously on the following. Future work should take place with the authority of a policy development process. That was the original number recommendation number two, which caused a lot of discussions on the call 2 weeks ago. And so I've included, and the only difference here is that one and two were agreed unanimously, and three was an issue, or two, the original two was an issue, this one. As an alternative, we can either, the working group could either say, do something like this, like say the working group could not agree that it should be one policy development process, or could agree upon an alternative recommendation, which is now a recommendation three, to ensure, etc., that at least that both, if we talk about country and territory names, if necessary, they be addressed through the relevant policy development processes. So it's not just a GNSO, but also a CCNSO policy development process. And this is particularly relevant for IDNs. That's the background. Does that clarify?
Thank you very much.
Your point?
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay. Alexander, over to you.
Yes, hi, it's Alexander. I just wanted to kind of introduce kind of like a historical view into this. In 2012, there had been this exception of certain names, the territory names and the ISO 31 codes. And it was said, well, we will deal later with it in the next round. Let's accept them now to start the 2012 round to not further delay it. And then the 2012 round kind of commenced, and soon thereafter, this working group started their work way ahead of the PDP for the next round. So the you worked already on the problem, and the PDP for the next round hadn't started yet. It started, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and the mostly it's obviously GNSO and the GAC who had to deal with that problem. So what do we do with territory names? What do we do with ISO 3166 Alpha 3? And in both of those groups, I mean, obviously I'm participating in both of those, or I'm involved in the progress. And both groups and GNSO said, wait, we don't have to think too much about it because there's a working group and we want to avoid duplication of work. Let's see what they find out. And this is kind of still today the case. Even the just very recent GNSO working group, Track 2, I think it was, phone call, people kind of said, we're waiting for the outcome of this working group. And that's what I hear from GAC members too. So very soon, GNSO and the GAC will learn that there will be no real input from us. We will not bring policy white paper to them or so. And what they will do then is they will start to start their own work. They will try to find their own solution. They will, of course, look into what we are developing over time, and they will factor this in. But we will not be the only ones who is working on that problem. Then, I mean, right now we have the ownership of the solution to that problem, but not for a very long time anymore, I'm afraid. I'm finished.
Thank you, Alexander. Annabeth, go ahead.
Annabeth here. I agree with you, Alexander, that what we are facing now is that we have been working in this working group for a long time, and the work has shown that it's very, very difficult to find this common framework that we were trying to find. And the work with all the different stakeholders in the same group shows that we have so different opinions. So it's been almost impossible to find a way forward. At the same time, this is a working group and not a P2P. So even if we had found a result, it's not the same as the rules according to the bylaws. So we had to just tell the P2P afterwards what we had found. So my fright now is that if we continue with the working group, the same format that we have today, we will still be struggling around the different meanings or opinions of the different stakeholders. And what we can tell is that it is impossible to find a common framework. So I'm not sure which way we should go forward, but it's absolutely different interests for perhaps at least some GTLDs and CCTLDs and the GACs. And if we have, especially for the country and territory names and the ISO list. So what we are suggesting here in this recommendation is to treat all the geographical names together, as like in recommendation one. And I'm afraid that we will have a big problem with doing everything at the same time because it's different reasons behind all geographic related names and the ISO, those who come out from the ISO list.
Thank you, Annabeth. Carlos, Alexander, I assume this is an old hand. Okay, thank you. Carlos?
Yes, unless Alexander wants to respond to Annabeth. Alexander, I want to clarify a little bit your statement from my perspective only, and to make it more complete, because I think I agree with what Annabeth just said. I mean, just creating an exception for the two-letter codes and the three-letter codes is not a policy. I mean, it's putting the problem aside for the time being. So for me, the two-letter codes and the three-letter codes were set aside as reserve names. We cannot touch them. So let's leave it on a drawer and let's continue, and we'll come back to that. And as Annabeth said, the problem is much bigger than the two-letter codes and the three-letter codes, because in the process of application and delegation of new codes, we were surprised. There were much more geographic issues than we thought. There were conflicts of geographic issues with trademarks. There were questions of two-letter codes at the second level. There were procedures for solving other geographic names that nobody envisioned, like the cities of Spa and Bar and everything. So I think it's very important to underline what Annabeth just said, that the community has stepped back, has taken a much broader definition, which is geography, and we all realize that we have no framework for geography, that we need to have a discussion on geography, that one of the results might be that within geography, the two-letter codes and three-letter codes of the ISO lease will remain frozen forever or not. The other position is there is no protection of geographic names under international law, etc. We have wide divergent positions, but I think the most important thing is that our narrow group, our narrow definition was A, limited to two and three letter codes, and B, we recognize now that the problem is much bigger and that this path under this charter is probably going nowhere. And we have to think very hard what our general recommendation is in a few weeks to the community on this narrow remit of two and three letter codes, and we have to come with some positive recommendations how to move forward, if not in two and three letter codes, at least in the geography discussion. And maybe is a full PDP the only solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Annabeth?
Yes, Annabeth here again. I just wanted to comment on one of the things that Carlos said about the protection under international law. I agree that there is no protection, or nobody has the right to these names that we are discussing. But that doesn't mean when ICANN enters into a private contract with those who apply for a name, they don't have to offer everything. If the consequences of offering these special names will have political implications and other implications. So that's up to ICANN to decide, even if it's no one that have a right to keep it for themselves.
Thank you, Annabeth. So let's go back. Say if you, and I see there are some real concerns around how to move forward, and that was the, if you recall, the whole purpose of having a progress report taking into account the Helsinki meeting and the result today of the working group. And based on, say, and that is captured in the substance of this document, we're still struggling with the recommendations in how to move forward. As I recall from the last meeting and the meeting before, and the document and the document as presented to the working group, say the first two recommendations, and especially number one, the ICANN community consolidate all policy efforts, was agreed. Do I understand correctly, and I think that's important because we now, in the second reading of this recommendation, is this, or let me rephrase it, is this recommendation still supported by the members of this working group? So that's recommendation number one. The ICANN community consolidate all policy efforts. As you can see, there is no change from the previous language in that one. So assuming I have no comments and I do see people agreeing, so I would say that's the core one. If we would go to say recommendation two, and again to repeat, this is from the previous document, which is marked change. Again, this there's no change in the language, and it was agreed at the last call. Just to confirm, is anybody opposed or has any issues with recommendation two as it stands right here, or do you think it's superfluous so we can delete it in the context of the other one? So future policy development work must facilitate all inclusive dialogue. That was to address some of the concerns raised by some on this call. Alexander, go ahead.
Hi, Alexander. So, well, I think we always have to keep in mind our viewpoint or how we view ourselves and our involvement with the ICANN community, and separately from that, the PDP for the next round. And our viewpoint quite clear, I think. I mean, we are writing about it in length in the document. But if you look at the viewpoint of the people who are preparing the next round, it's much more narrow. They, for example, don't even talk about two-letter strings for the simple reason that they were never up for registration. I mean, we have an applicant guidebook, and there is no mentioning whatsoever that two-letter codes could be registered or maybe in the future or at all. They're exempted per se because of RFC 1591. So we are dealing with it and we are talking about it, but the people who are creating the PDP are not even interested in that thing because they are not up for registration per se. And when we talk about the recommendation number two, for example, the people who are creating the PDP, Genus O and GAC, know that we are working on something, and when we deliver something, they will look at it and factor it in. But as Anna said rightly, we are not going to create policy anyway. We will just have some recommendations in the end of the day. And they know, I mean, the Genus O and GAC know that they have to create the policy for territory names and 3166 codes. And that's the only thing they're really looking at because everything else is already in the African guidebook. So our scope and our viewpoint and the entire issue is very different from the people who are currently dealing with the problem and will create a policy out of it.
Alexander,
I don't know whether this makes any sense for you.
Alexander, may I ask you another question? If you would look at the interim report, I don't know if you had the chance to read it. Say, one of the interesting aspects going through it and in preparing it is the evolution of the definition of country and territory names in the applicant guidebook. So if you see the first applicant guidebook versions 1 and 2 in particular, it talks about meaningful representation of country and territory names. And that's a definition taken from the CCNSO fast-track process dealing with country and territory names and the overall policy development. And using that one of the criticisms, and probably rightfully so, especially in terms of the African guidebook, it was not specific enough. And therefore, you will see that the applicant guidebook and the definitions included evolved. But it also shows you, and that's the reason for raising it, that if we are not very careful, and if the community in general is not very careful, they will be treading on territory that's both within the remit of the CCNSO policy development process and the GNSO policy development process. And I think that's one of the core issues, and that's one of the reasons why we talk about this whole issue around country and territory names, because it's in the remit of the two policy development areas. So I think, say, from that perspective, the work of this working group is to... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Alexander again. I think the work of this group is very important. I just say, if we look at real-world outcome, especially concerning the PDP for the next round, if we are not really, really fast and come up with something very concrete, they will not even listen to us. I mean, they will look at whatever we deliver, if we deliver anything within the next year. But otherwise, they will now sit down and will start to create their own PDP. And if we want to impact in any way the African guidebook for the next round, we have to come up with something very concrete that they can implement into the PDP. And I recognize that our work is not specifically developing PDP for the next round. I mean, the work of this group is obviously much broader and has a much wider time horizon, and not only for the next new GTD round, but kind of like for eternity and all kinds of scenarios, and not just for new GTDs, obviously. But if we want to influence the PDP for the next round, we have to now, this year, probably.
Okay, thank you. It's for concern. Susan.
Yes, thank you. It's Susan here. I wanted to respond to Alexander, but in a way it was more of a request for clarification, because when you first were speaking, Alexander, I thought I was understanding you to be saying that that these issues in relation to, say, two characters, three characters are not being dealt with by the subsequent procedures PDP, and so that essentially if we do not deal with them, no one will. But your later comments didn't seem to be saying that, and so when I put my hand up, it was to respond to that point, which I'm now not sure was your point or not. But I just wanted to say that within the charter of the subsequent procedures PDP, within the section called Group 2, it is very clear that the reserve names, including the geographical names requirements, are within scope for that PDP to look at. Although there is a comment that says that there is this CCWG working on this issue that's focused particularly on the country and territory names, and you know, making sure that therefore the PDP working group makes an effort to avoid duplication. But I think, you know, if there is advice from this working group, then it will go into that PDP and they will take it into consideration. It doesn't necessarily mean even that they will follow it, but they will take it into consideration. And if there is no advice, or if the advice is that we are, you know, unable to reach a conclusion on three characters or whatever, then the subsequent procedures PDP will start to consider the point. But in relation to the two characters, I think we are making a recommendation. I think that's still our intention, which is that we are recommending, you know, maintaining the position that they should continue to be reserved for the reasons that are discussed in the the draft report.
May I?
I'm just putting it in there again. Well, yeah, I'm. Yeah.
Now go ahead, Alexander.
Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm totally in agreement. Do you hear me? If we come up with something, will factor it in. If we don't come up with something, they will not factor it in. So either we speed up and we create something, or it will not be part of the next PDP.
I think, say, let me first, this is Bart again, let me first address, say, what Susan said, and I apologize if I create any confusion. What I intended to say is, say, there is no question about that the subsequent procedures is addressing the topic about geographic names, and it's very clearly within the remit of the PDP. That's the only concern I wanted to flag, and that was raised by others, is that this is not just the remit of the GNSO, it's also the remit of the CCNSO, especially if you talk about country and territory names. And it's not just the ROC 1591, it's also to do with IDN CCTLDs, and that created the issue originally, say, from a CCNSO perspective. So that was the only, and that's, I think that that was the concern of some of the people on this group, or what they expressed last week on the last call. So that was what was raised here. Susan, I see your hand is up again. Go ahead.
Yes, it was really just briefly in relation to the point about if this working group does not give some recommendations, then we won't have input. I agree in the sense that we this working group in our currently formed group wouldn't have input, but the PDP that is currently chartered and could be considering these issues is open to all, and so it is possible for all of us to participate in that, and indeed many of us already are. So it is not as though we lose the opportunity to have a voice. We still have the exact same voice. My personal perspective is that I think it would be more helpful for recommendation one, you know, for all of these policy issues on geographic names to be dealt with together, rather than for the subsequent procedures to be clearly dealing with other geographic names and then, but leaving aside these particular ones because they think they're being dealt with somewhere else.
No, and I think, say, and this is Bart again for the record, go as far as, say, and that's what staff tried to capture, say, at the in this paper, but also in the interim paper, and say, is to capture that drift of the arguments by the working group. Is that, say, based on the discussions to date around the country and territory names, knowing efforts exist as well in the community, especially the GAC working group on geographic names, but also the PDP, that it's impossible to create a harmonized framework around geographic names unless it is a consolidated and coordinated effort, and the only way to ensure this is that it really is impactful is under a PDP. Otherwise, you see all these efforts springing up and jumping up. So that was the background of say the progress report and the recommendations as they contain therein. And alternative recommendation 3 is just to address and just to ensure to clarify that some issues cannot be dealt with in under one PDP because of, say, the scope of the issues involved, especially around country and territory names. So I would say the core of the recommendations would be recommendation 1. And 2 and 3, as they stand, are more or less qualifications around the policy development efforts. Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, Bart. I think your last sentence is a very good summary. I think number 1 stands. We haven't received any comments. Maxime was suggesting that participation was very low. I don't know if we can just send the approved draft out and give people another chance until the next call to object if necessary. In terms of 2 and 3 as qualifications, I don't know, qualifications or just areas where there seems to be no agreement within the group. So I would ask you to think how we phrase it exactly, but in general terms I agree with you. We stand by number 1 and we have 2 areas, number 2 and number 3, where there is, I don't know, less agreement or not a clear path, etc. Thus, how to wrap up this progress report, because it's just a progress report, it's a snapshot. It doesn't mean it goes as a recommendation, so that for the next call we can jump into the meat of the combined straw man straw woman document, which is the legacy of the group. If we decide just to hand it over to the PDP. I don't know about this overview, because we are just 5 minutes.
Thank you. Annabeth,
please go ahead. Could I just ask for a clarification first? We have 1 and 2, and then the next section. Is that an alternative to the what's below? So the first section is to deliver everything to a PDP, to the existing PDP on the subsequent rounds in the GNSO. And if we go for alternative to recommendation 3, then it could be these special things that has to do with country and territory names should be treated in another PDP in the CCNSO, since the IDN question comes into it. Is that what you mean?
Yes. What I say, the language would be, say, I forgot to say, if you would go the sentence starting, the CWG could not agree unanimously on the following, that should be, I'll say, recommendation 3, and then recommendation alternative 1, and recommendation 3 alternative 2 should read to ensure the conclusions of recommendations, blah, 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 and moving forward. So you talk about 2 alternatives for recommendation 3.
So, yes, and I understand it correctly, yes.
And based on the conversations today, and that's because this is the second reading, say, based on the today's conversations, I would say recommendation 1 stands. So it's been after 2 readings, so that means 4 weeks in total, people had a chance to read it, go over it, has been agreed by this at this call and the previous call. Recommendation 2 is under discussion, and recommendation 3 alternative is under discussion as well, and maybe say for the next week, in 2 weeks of on mail, I will make clarify it so and send it out as quickly as possible, so all can have a look at it, so the progress report can be adopted at the next call in 2 weeks. Carlos, may I get back to you with regard to your point on the on the function of the progress report? The progress report was, if I recall correctly, and that's why it includes the recommendation, was to report to the community in Hyderabad that this working group will finalize its works in accordance to its charter, but this is the direction of travel, to indicate that, say, in future, this working group is not able to come up with a harmonized framework with respect to the country and territory names, because it, say, that was the outcome of the work on the three letter codes, or say on the feasibility of such, for such a framework. That's recorded in the progress report, and therefore it's the community needs to be informed as rather sooner than later. Carlos, you were on mute. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much for the explanation. I understand it, but in the end, this recommendation will go out in another document, or repeat it in another document, or in a final document, the way I understand it. So I fully agree with your suggestion that we had two readings and we should send it out without the changes, without all the as a final round, to see if we can wrap it up for the next meeting and we can continue with the other document. If people agree, Annabeth has another comment to make.
Yeah, it's Annabeth here. Yes, I agree with you. I think this is a good way forward. The only thing that I would say is that even if we haven't decided or managed to decide a common framework from three-letter codes and in full or short names of country territory names, I think we could flag that we have more or less agreed on the how we should do with the two-letter codes in the future. Because it's even, at least we should say that.
Yeah, it should be included.
Okay, then I think we have made the round on the document. So let's get all the changes out, and threaten the people with finishing and sending it as is, and let's talk. I don't know, in the agenda, is it a suggestion, or we have agreed what the next that the next meeting is on October 17th.
At the last call, we agreed to have a call every 2 weeks. The only thing is, time is not set yet. But I suggest we go back to 2100. Yeah, it depends a bit, because there is a bit of overlap. There appears to be overlap with the PDP on subsequent rounds, or another GNSO PDP. I don't have it. I don't have any idea which one it is, but otherwise,
yes, it was on the subsequent rounds. PDP starts at 20 UTC, but it goes over for 2 hours. That was the comment. But I have no problem in moving back to 15 hours. See if we can save our Australian friends, because today we missed both. Co-chairs from Australia, so maybe we should check if everybody agrees. We would go for October 17, 15 hours again, so we can cover that part of the world.
Yeah. So that's 2000 UTC.
Susan has a question.
I was just going to say that this week. The subsequent procedures is at 2000 UTC, but there is a call this evening for my time. And it may be that I would expect at the end of that call that there'll be some clarity on when the next call is. I think those calls are rotating time. So I would hope that next time it wouldn't be 20:00, it should be a different time, hopefully.
Yeah. So we'll check again as soon as possible, say, with the co-chairs, the time, and we'll get back early, say, in 1 or 2 days with a suggested time for the next call for this working group. But it's in 2 weeks or around 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And to finalize it, and I'll update the document. According to Steve, he's on both. It should work at 2100 UTC next in 2 weeks. So my suggestion is that we go and we just go for 2100 UTC on the 17th. And we'll send a calendar invite to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much, Bart.
Yeah, you can see it.
If there are no other comments, I would suggest to wrap it up and thank everybody for making it today.
Yeah. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carlos. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Cindy. We now stop the recording. This concludes today's call.